With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws, and you're listening to the VOC Nation, and if you ain't down with that, we've got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Stadium Journey Podcast. We are proud to be part of the VOC Nation Radio Network. Stadium Journey is more than just a wicked awesome podcast. That's my Boston accent. Our website, stadiumjourney.com, contains over 2,500 stadium reviews, news items, and features perfect for the traveling sports fan. And in addition to the website, we are all over social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Like us, follow us everywhere you can. The Stadium Journey Podcast is the perfect companion for when you're on a road trip. If you're ever on a road trip again, we'll get there, don't worry. Just type in VOC Nation Radio Network into your podcast search app or look under the podcast tab on the Stadium Journey website. In addition, all of our old video podcasts are on the Stadium Journey YouTube channel, perfect for binge watching. We also stream live on twitch.tv/danlaw83. Welcome to everyone watching right now. Don't be afraid to participate tonight. And now, let me introduce our starting lineup. We've got Dave Cotney with us, as always. Follow him online at ProFan9. Mark Viquez can be found at Paul Park Hunter. Our producer, the above-average comedian, Dan Calachico, is online at DanLaw83. And I am Paul Baker. You can follow me at PuckmanRI. Now, as you all well know, all of you loyal listeners, it's been a crazy year in minor league baseball. In addition to having an entire season canceled and a quarter of the affiliated teams canceled, we continue to see new stadiums being built, teams being moved, and other teams rebranding in search of a new identity, or more importantly, in search of all the money that goes along with a new brand. Tonight, we're going to zero in on the small city of Beloit, Wisconsin, where the Snappers are getting not only a new ballpark, but they're getting a new brand. But there's a twist. There's a resistance movement forming to keep some elements of the Snappers in place along with the rebranding. So tonight we are joined by Ben Witkins. He is the co-founder of a group, one of those groups of fans looking to save Snappy. Ben, welcome to the podcast. And can you start off by telling us a little bit about your group and what you're doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, my name is Ben, and I am a founding member of this resistance movement. I think that's a great term for it. Basically, long story short, the Snappers announced that they were going to rebrand a couple months ago, and they came out with five finalist names. The names, real quick, were the Cheese Balls, Moo, Polka Pike, Supper Clubbers, and Skycarp. So they released those five names to the community, and chaos ensued. every, you know, 99% of the feedback from the community was, what the hell are you guys doing? These names are horrible. Why are you ruining Snapsby? So the first thing we did was we started a petition. The petition quickly grew to, it's now at 3,500 plus signatures. But during the, the next couple months, we realized, they're really going to change. They are committed to moving on from the Boyd Snappers. So we pivoted and we said, hey, let's compromise. And the compromise we came up with was a name that we think is the real, like, winner. It is the Beloit River Rockers. Basically, the gist is we keep Snappy, we turn him into a rock star because the team plays on the Rock River in Rock County, and it all works. So that's quickly how we came to be, and here we are still chugging along and still making noise.
And you've moved on from just a petition to, you guys are embracing social media and expanding your reach. Am I correct?
Yeah, we have a Facebook and Twitter page right now that we encourage everyone to follow. It's at Beloit Rockers. And we also have a change.org petition that we post periodic updates to. So it's the Save Snappy petition on change.org. And if you go there and you click on the updates tab, you will get everything you wanted to know and more about the Beloit Rockers resistance movement.
I had a picture of Star Wars when I mentioned it's a resistance.
I'm watching a lot of The Mandalorian, so that works.
Yeah, I got to get into that. I read, Mark did a great article where he interviewed you about the name, but I guess I must have glossed over the name choices, the original five name choices.
Oh,
you
yeah.
say one of them was the Moo?
Moo.
M-O-O,
yeah.
Like a cow?
Yeah, M-O-O, yeah. Yeah, it's about as bad as, I wish I was joking. Rhymes with boo. It's a Wisconsin cliche. I've never shoveled manure. I've never milked a cow, but apparently the San Diego, marketing company that they work with thinks that's what we all do in Wisconsin. They just kind of, they gave us these names that are pretty highly questionable. Now, what they'll say is it was a fan vote and these were fan, generated, but we really have some skepticism about where these names came from because there's no one in a 50-mile radius of Beloit who likes these names. So we're very confused.
Yeah, and I think, I looked at these names too, Cheeseball, Skycarp. I mean, I get it. I think I heard owner Quint Studer who, let's give him appropriate praise for saving the club and financing the ballpark almost entirely. I understand. Yeah, I understand he is saying, hey, we didn't really make a lot of money in advertising and merchandise. Let's do a new rebrand. It worked in Jacksonville. It worked in Binghamton. And, I get why you want to rebrand, but is he overlooking this? How about just redoing the Snappers logo, which has been unchanged since 1995?
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's such an important point. We've said all along, we are more thankful for Quint Studer than I can possibly say on this broadcast or anywhere else. He saved baseball in Beloit. With his investment, the team was on the way out. That there's no chance in hell Pullman Field, which many of you have been to, was going to make it. They would have been on the chopping block. No one would ever disagree. So he saved baseball in Beloit, and we are eternally grateful. But in terms of the change, I mean, just because it worked one place doesn't mean it's going to work somewhere else. And all changes doesn't mean it's good change. It's got to be smart change. That's what we're advocating for. And we're basically trying to help them stick the landing and help them with implementing smart change. And we feel that the smart change is you maintain the tradition of Snappy and just give them a rock and roll makeover.
Yeah, because I think one thing you did, which was very creative, you and your brother came up with the logo, but then you took the five suggestions and you made them part of the band with Snappy the Turtle. How did that manifest?
Yeah, because again, all we're trying to do is compromise. We are not at odds with the organization. We all want the same thing, Beloit baseball to be successful. So, you're never going to get anywhere in baseball or in life if you're just rigid and not willing to compromise. So we were like, okay, where can we meet in the middle? How about these five names they proposed, Cheeseballs, Moo, Poke-a-Pike, et cetera. We they become members of a rock band. Again, Rock County, Rock River, yeah. Rock band. And you know, so we came up with Mr. Cheeseball plays the drums. You know, Polka Pike is on accordion. Skycarp's playing guitar. They play at the Supper Club. So we're kind of thinking like, you know, someone jacks a home run. And then similar to like Bernie Brewer going down the slide, maybe the rock band starts jamming in the Supper Club in right field or something like that. You know, basically just trying to, you know, get ideas out there that, you know, might work as a compromise and make it a fun in-game experience.
So I think we've seen in minor league baseball how the trend has gone to the outrageous names. And I think it's fair to say that at least some of these five fall into the category of outrageous names. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are. How much do you think these names are designed to get the attention outside of Beloit, to get a wider spread attention into a greater market than what's already there?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a huge, huge goal. Quinn Studer sometimes he talks about how people in other countries have heard about the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, and that really excites him and gives him a lot of, you know, and that incentivizes him, I think, to make the brand more broad. Long story short, I think we would be an attraction that would transcend state, who knows, maybe even transcend country. I mean, there's not many minor league baseball teams out there that I know of that have a rock band and just have like a basically a concert-like atmosphere at games. And I think that's a hell of a lot more fun than a team that, you know, let's say they become the Polka Pike, and you go to the stadium and it's incessant polka music playing all game long. Like, how obnoxious would that be? I don't think that would be very fun. but I think you turn your games into a rock concert every single night. That's going to get some serious broad appeal. So I think it's just like he's got to just consider where we're coming from and, you know, the incredible support that we're getting in the community.
Yeah, and I would compare it to what they do in Reading, Pennsylvania. When I went to a game there a couple years ago, they had about four or five mascots running around. I don't know what all of them had to do with the team, and they weren't playing in a rock band, but, you know, they were there. The kids were excited. They were chasing them. They were posing for pictures. So
right.
This idea of having the band play would also create merchandise opportunities, stuffed animals, shirts,
right.
Hats, memes on social media. I mean, you really can go in a lot of different directions with that concept there.
Totally, and that's such an important point, because the reason why this is all happening right now is because merchandise sales, quite frankly, sucked. So we're like, another thing we're thinking about is, okay, Mr. Studer, we're not going to give you one mascot. We're giving you five. And, you know, that we're going to triple, quadruple potential merchandising opportunities. So, again, it's all in the spirit of compromise. It's all trying to meet halfway and figure out how we can make this make business sense and sense, you know, just for the fans.
So being a total outsider and being a baseball snob, as I've been told before, minor league baseball is not my forte. So help me out here. What is it about the snapper's name and or Snappy the Turtle that makes it such a drive for you, something that you really want to fight for?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mean, for whatever reason, well, there are reasons, but Beloit is obsessed with turtles. Turtle Creek, Turtle Tap, a bar. The Turtle Mounds is like these famous mounds that inspired the Beloit College logo. The town itself, Beloit used, like, I think, be called like the town of Turtle Village, I think it used to be called. There's the Turtle Township. It's an obsessed turtle culture there. So when you have, you know, you can kind of imagine how it doesn't sit right when there's this, you know, San Diego marketing company who comes and rebrands the team and then the turtle goes away. That just doesn't sit right with the community. So that's really like why the city is passionate about turtles. And me personally, you know, I also have some personal nostalgia wrapped up in this, admittedly, there's no doubt about it, as well as my older brother. We're both former employees of the team. He, you know, my brother worked the stadium, the scoreboard. I worked Dippin' Dots. I was Snappy the Turtle, you know. So we have both have a lot wrapped up in this, as well as the entire community.
Now, how long are you Snappy the Turtle for? How?
Periodically for like 2 seasons.
Okay.
It's the worst. To this day, it's the worst job I've ever had because it's like 150 degrees inside the turtle suit. But very proud to say I was Snappy for.
Yeah, having been a mascot one day myself, yeah, I can agree with you.
Yeah, I had to work. I worked for the Cincinnati Riverhawks soccer team one year, and I had to be Hawkster. And I didn't have my shoes on. He usually has these floppy shoes, so all the kids are making fun of my small feet. They were brutal to me.
Right. And you got to just, like, you know, be happy and you're boiling. Yeah. And it's, you know, try to see through the, you know, the mascot to make an autograph. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So, hey, I can beat you both because I was Sox. I was the girl polar bear for the park.
Oh, how cute.
And I got hit on so bad, and you don't know how bad I wanted to, you know, guys coming up to me, putting on, hey, you look pretty good there, Soxy. And I went, hey, you're not so bad yourself. You know?
For me, it was the worst when, like, the 12-year-old kids, like, entering their rebellion phase would come up to me and, like, kick me in the shin or something, you know?
Getting
like
a person inside the costume.
wait a minute. Wait. Are you telling me that Snappy the Turtle isn't, like, a real turtle?
What are you talking about? No. He's a 16-year-old kid making $20 a game.
I would have loved to have done that for $20 a game back in the day. But, getting back to you and your brother's creation, not only do you have a logo, you have jerseys and away jerseys and alternative jerseys and, you know, different color hats. It's almost becoming a small little enterprise. Is it kind of getting bigger than you ever thought it would get, this whole resistance movement?
You know, it's funny. That's a really good question and one I haven't been asked. Honestly, it's not. Like, I just instinctively knew. I was like, this isn't going to work. So as soon as I heard, I started that petition, and like clockwork, it blew up. And it didn't surprise me one sec, or for 1 minute. And then when we came up with River Rockers, I was like, oh, my God, yes, Snappy in a rock band. I'm playing on the Rock River in Rock County. Of course. It's like it's kind of like when you get an idea and you just know it works. It's just like a warm knife through butter. It's just like – or like if the Beatles, you know, when they wrote Yesterday, I'm sure they're just like, yes, perfect. This is, you know. And it's just, it was one of those moments. So it doesn't surprise me at all, actually. And I'm just like at this point, I just want to see them consider it as a viable alternative, and I want them to talk to us I want to get some communication with the organization going.
Because you said that everything's copacetic between you and the organization. What have they actually said to you?
Yes, we had some when we were doing the original Save the Boys Snappers petition before we pivoted to this River Rockers proposal. We were in periodic conversation with Quint Studer. I mean, I had an hour-long, really, really nice conversation with him. We exchanged a couple emails. We sent him some presentations. He responded in kind, like, to our presentations, and we kind of pivoted accordingly based on kind of what he was saying. And I thought we just had a really good relationship. I will admit, though, we haven't – it's kind of gone dark for a while, and I, to a certain extent, I totally get that. There's with so much upheaval in minor league baseball right now.
He has
a million things on his plate. Let alone all the, you know, he's involved in so many things in various communities, the Pensacola community. You know, he's got so many things on his plate. So, to a certain extent, I really do understand. But looking forward to getting some more communication for sure, and I hope to connect with him eventually.
Yeah, because you know, I think you would be happy if they just kept Snappy the Turtle in some form, or just keep the Snappers Turtle logo and name.
Right. That's really at the base of it. That's what we're wanting to do here. We're wanting to maintain Snappy, in a meaningful way.
Yeah, definitely. Because I get it. It's It's been around for 25 years. I don't think the logo has even been tinkered with. I think it featured the Milwaukee Brewers colors of 1995, which were not the same of the past few years, if I recall. It had.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
512 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The gold and dark. I mean, remember the Brewers had that little kind of awkward phase in the mid-90s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, what is this?
Yeah, the Jeremy Burnett years and winning 56 games a year years. And, that was a brutal time period. But, no, it's funny you say about Snappy. Rumor has it Snappy was someone in the front office of, around 95 or whatever when they made the change to the Snappers. Like someone in his family was like, my – nephew knows a little bit about graphic design. Maybe he can design a logo for us. And that's what happened, and that's how Snappy came to be. And basically, he's remained untouched since for the most part.
No, because
he's due for a makeover.
I found an article on newspapers.com announcing the change and the introduction, and I'm thinking it was from the fall of '94. I'm thinking that logo hasn't changed. It's the same.
There's
logo.
One change. He used to have like a B on his hat, and then it changed to an S. But I think that's like the only change.
Yes. Okay.
So and you talk to Quinn Studer always is like, everyone hates change. I'm used to this. They're going to say bad things no matter what. But I think what we're finding is that people aren't really resistant to change. They realize that change is needed. They realize that Snappy needs a makeover.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do the nuclear option, basically, which is, boy, cheese balls or something like that.
Yeah, because I know when Jacksonville switched from the Suns to the Jumbo Shrimp, I think that was just announced. I don't think they had a fan vote. I could be wrong.
I
remember when that happened, I was like, what, the Jumbo Shrimp? Are they serious? But it financially did well for them. So, I don't blame Mr. Studer for wanting to make such a nuclear change to come up with a crazy name. Yeah.
For sure. Not all rebrands are created equal. Some work, some don't. Look at the New Orleans Baby Cakes. I mean, that basically went up in smoke.
And then the failed attempt of the Staten Island River Rats, Pizza Rats, which the New York Yankees hated. They didn't want that change to be made. So, it's not all – minor league ball towns are created equally. All right,
right.
Isn't there a precedent for a team to like go through the five choices and then pick something and go off the board? I think Rocky Mountain Vibes did that.
Yes, they did.
Yep. You're right. You're right about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, because ownership can say, I like this name, and it's my team. Screw you guys.
Right. Yeah.
Which, if you own the team and you build your own ballpark, I guess you can do whatever you want. I'm not going to do that.
Quinn said that in one of the early media appearances we had. He's like, well, if you guys have $12 to $17 million, you can definitely name the team if you want.
Yeah. He put his money where his mouth is. So.
Yeah.
But not only are you excited about maybe the new name or the old name or a compromise, you're getting a new ballpark, ABC Supply Stadium. Pullman Field probably was not regarded as one of our favorite minor league ballparks for some of us who have been there. But what are some of your memories of the old ballpark, and what are you looking forward to with the new ballpark?
Yeah, It's funny. Poland Field is one of those things. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and, you know, everything's just bigger and larger and cooler. As growing up as a kid, Poland Field was my baseball field, you know, so it was the coolest place in the world to me. I love that place. Looking back on it now, whoa, it's lacking. And again, there's no doubt we would have lost a Major League Baseball affiliation without Mr. Studer. So, I mean, it's just like, thank God he invested. But yeah, nonetheless, had a lot of great memories there. I mean, just roaming around as a teenager, working that summer job, selling Dippin' Dots, you know, some magical times, you know, the fireworks nights, watching Prince Fielder and Ricky Weeks and Tony Gwynn Jr. on that 2003 baseball team, which I thought was like the coolest minor league baseball team of all time. So many great memories there. And then, you know, my brother working there, me being like a wide-eyed younger brother and seeing my brother in the press box and seeing him work the scoreboard, I thought that was the coolest job of all time. And, there's just, going there with my grandparents, family, friends, the memories are endless. But it wasn't going to work anymore. And super, super pumped for ABC Supply Stadium.
Now, how much further, in location, we know that the new ballpark's going to be downtown. Where was Pullman Field in relation?
Pullman Field is so weird. I mean, because it was like a non-for-profit thing. It was in the middle of this residential area.
So
it was a really, really unique place for a stadium. It's almost like how Lambeau Field's like right in a residential neighborhood. Pullman Field was very much the same kind of way.
Yeah, because that's unfortunately that's how they built minor league ballparks in the 1980s. It's like, yeah, let's just build aluminum bleachers and fans will come out and watch, because Rockford and Madison all had teams in the Midwest League at that time, all had very similar stadiums, and they're both gone from affiliated ball, and Beloit was able to hang on.
Yeah, we're hanging on, man. By the grace of God, we're hanging
on there.
Barely, by skin of our teeth, but we're getting lucky.
I know when they made the change, they said Kane County was out, so I had a feeling that Pullman didn't get their act together. I mean, Beloit, Kane County would have been kept, and Beloit would have been, would have been perfect in the Northwoods League if that would have been the case. But, with the ABC Supply Stadium, is this looking to rebuild the downtown? Is it a ballpark plus more?
So Beloit's been going through this crazy renaissance. It's like, it's honestly, there should be books written about it. It's like, it's unbelievable. It was bombed out. Industry left around the year 2000. Mm-hmm. The city was going absolutely nowhere.
Ben, how big is Beloit?
It's 37,000 people. But it's going through this crazy revitalization right now. So it's just booming industry, booming business. And really, it's kind of like culminating in ABC Supply Stadium. Quinn Sears talked about this idea of like bookends to a downtown. Like his perfect downtown is like, this is like a really cool attraction on one end and then like a really cool attraction on the other end. And you like walk and drink and eat as you go.
In his mind,
ABC Supply Stadium is the bookend to Beloit's downtown. So it's kind of like, it's like the capstone or the final piece really to make it just a kick-ass place to go and visit. And Quinn Studer says, I don't want Beloit to be known as a city that, is in between Chicago and Beloit and Madison. Like, I want Beloit to be the place people go on the weekends.
A destination.
And honestly, if this stadium thing works, if this team works, I mean, it's going to be a really, really – I think it's going to be successful in majorly. So.
All right, Dave.
So we recently went through the big purge and saw a number of teams not make the cut in to remain affiliated teams. Was there a big sigh of relief with Beloit making the cut, or was everybody pretty much sure that they were going to make the cut no matter?
So in all honesty, like, because of this significant like investment that they're basically like, we're going to build the most kick-ass stadium and we're going to make it so good Major League Baseball would be crazy to say no. So what they did was, like, Major League Baseball came out with these, like, specifications that all, like, stadiums need to, like, abide by. Good facilities, good locker rooms, you know, like that sort of thing. So what they did is they like literally, there's like a checklist. And when they were building ABC Supply Stadium, they built the stadium to a T, what MLB wants. So it's like, if you do that, you're going to get a stadium. So there wasn't a lot of surprise when the announcement finally came, because they literally did what MLB told them to do.
Will the ballpark be ready for next, well, if there's a next year?
I hope. Yeah, they're saying it's on track.
Not a lot of construction can happen in Wisconsin in the winter, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but as far as we know, the last report was that, you know, everything's moving along. The really, you know, the major buzzkill is just, you know, is there going to be a season or not? Like, that's really the bigger
part. Now, have you been by the construction site? Are you?
I haven't, but I've received pictures from family and friends. I'm based in Minneapolis, so I've really been down. I've been doing the, you know, the quarantine thing, so I haven't been getting out too much.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. It's we have a few new ballparks being built here, and that I pass through and just drive through, see what's going on, you know, and take some pictures, get excited if there's a season, because that's the thing right now. They haven't made an announcement of the team. We don't know when the season's going to start. Mm-hmm. We really don't know how some of the minor leagues are going to be situated. So you live up in Minneapolis, and, of course, St. Paul is going to be in AAA. We don't even know what that's going to look like. So, wow, so many question marks. It's almost like a cliffhanger.
I know.
We're in right now for baseball. So,
yeah. I was watching your guys' earlier shows, and just you guys just dissecting like all the different scenarios of like how all the different chips could fall. And I was like, man, how do you guys keep up with all this stuff? I was like, it's like the off season of upheaval, basically.
That's why there's four of us on the show.
Yeah,
I tell you, it's either there's something with my brain that just is a little bit off, or I'm just a big baseball fan.
it's the former.
Dave, what you got?
So. You said that it wasn't really a big surprise that you guys made the cut. What about finding out that you were going to be, I say you, like you're the Beloit Snappers, but we'll go with that for now. were you surprised that the affiliation turned out to be with the Miami Marlins, and how are you feeling about being affiliated with the Marlins, or does it even matter?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, speaking as Ben Whitkins, the guy who has nothing to do with the Beloit Snappers, I don't really care too much about the affiliation. I just want them to have an affiliation. There were a million different, you know, that was another thing you guys were predicting, like, you know, what affiliation will it be? You know, and there was a million different predictions. And, you know, when it finally was announced it was the Marlins, that was a big surprise to me. But it kind of made sense because, you know, Quinn's got a Florida ties and all the other, you know, I don't know. It kind of worked, I feel like. But I was very surprised. So
does the owner own more minor league teams other than just Beloit? Or?
Yeah, he owns the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, which is a also in the Marlins farm system.
I was going to say, did they not just become the AA affiliate of the Marlins?
Well, they were the AA.
They were.
Because Jacksonville became the AAA.
The Marlins seemed to be the major league team with the most kind of upheaval and change in their
them and Minnesota.
In their minor league affiliate.
Damn it, Jeter!
Yeah, because I think Jacksonville's AAA, AA will be Pensacola. Am I correct? And then
are they moving to the Southern League? I didn't think so.
I could be wrong.
I should know this off the top of my head.
I should know it too. I'm the baseball.
You're the minor league guy, Mark. Come on for a second.
I have the chart.
All right, we'll keep talking.
You're absolutely fired. There's no chance you're fired.
All right. I got it. Miami, Jacksonville, Pensacola, and Beloit, and then Jupiter. That's what I have. But
Jupiter. So the Midwest League is actually moving up from low A to high A.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. They got. I know. It's like it all worked out so well. It's like not only do you have it, maintain your MLB affiliation, but you also go up a level. And from what I'm hearing is that is not like insignificant. You're going to get a lot better talent, and it's gonna be great.
Oh yeah, instead of having one or two guys that make it up to the big leagues, you know, you might get four or five now.
Right. Exactly.
No, and I'm not saying that facetiously. It's
right.
True.
So Pensacola was with the Twins before. And Jacksonville was the double A for the Marlins, so they've moved up to triple A. Pensacola is now the double A.
Yes.
And then Beloit, is it a little help here? High A or?
Beloit will be the high A now,
yeah. Okay.
High A.
I don't know why they just call them A, B, C, D now.
Yeah, since you're into, like, changing the world, Ben, how about you get on that? You know, let's enough of this high A, low A, short A, long A stuff. Let's come up
One, two, three, four. Yeah.
Yeah, class A. But
A, B, C.
But I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was making a graphic, and I literally spent, like, 20 minutes on it. I was like, wait, is it high A? Is it advanced A? Is it, like, what the hell is this?
I don't even know what the difference is between high A and low A. And, you know.
High and one's low.
One's high and one's low. But your better talent goes to high A and your lower talent. I mean, then there was like short season A ball, which I'm kind of glad that's done. I mean, I'm upset that some teams are not playing anymore, but
I lost all our teams out here.
Yeah, try to follow.
You lost all your teams out there, then AHL said, same.
Bye.
Bye.
Up here we had one affiliated team, and we still have one affiliated team. And they stayed with the Jays.
You going to go on a road trip to go see them, Dave?
Nope. Not allowed to leave the province, so nope.
Oh, wow.
You have to jump like six provinces to get all the way there.
I've been there, though. I've been to Vancouver Canadiens. Yeah, they're pretty nice.
Oh, so. All right, so Ben, if I'm planning on going to Beloit this year and just checking out a game.
Yeah, be some spotted cow, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What are some things you recommend doing in Beloit, you know, brewery-wise, food-wise, to some out-of-towners, some of us from the East Coast?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, it's great. I definitely check out the downtown. Just like hang out downtown. There's a lot of cool stuff down there. I can't believe I'm saying this now, but there's sushi restaurants. There's high end burger places. Like this, that's not the Beloit I know, but it's the Beloit that exists now.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to see what's going on. If you wanna, you know, keep it a little more ratchet, if you will, you know, go to like, you know, some of the divier bars, which are fantastic and definitely my favorites. There's one nearby called the Turtle Tap. You'll never guess, but it's just one of my favorite bars, and they actually just endorsed our movement here. So we're gonna,
corporate sponsorship.
We're gonna have an announcement about them pretty soon. But that'd be my recommendation. Just check out downtown, check out some of the divey bars, and just have a good time.
Any good breweries in the area or?
Yeah, there is one that just started, but I unfortunately haven't been to it yet. I think it's like Q. Oh man, the name escapes me, but it's like Q5 Brewery or something like that. I'm butchering the name, and I'm losing some credit here.
And Ben, for our listeners who may not even know where Beloit is, where is Beloit?
G5 Brewery.
There you go. That's what, see, a Q kind of looks like a G, so I think that's what I. Yeah.
It's not too far from Madison, if I remember.
Yeah, it is on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. It's about 45 minutes to an hour from Madison, but it's literally right on the border. You can, you know, hurl a rock from ABC Supply Stadium and it'll end up in Illinois.
Yeah, not too far from Milwaukee because I remember doing a Brewers game and a Snappers game in the same day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it was maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah. Growing up, I would make it. You know, every weekend I'd be going up to Miller Park as a kid. It'd be fun.
Miller Park. What's it called now?
Oh God, don't even remind me. I think it's like State. It's like State Farm or something like that.
That's Ben's next project.
Oh God, I literally forgot.
Family Field.
Oh yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that.
That's a tough.
I didn't even know that. I had to look it up.
That sounds worse than cheese balls or supper clubbers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I went out, when I was in Milwaukee. This was a few years back. We took the Miller tour, and it was awful. I mean, I'm kind of a beer snob, I guess, but yeah, I couldn't drink that stuff.
So you don't like Miller Lite, Paul?
You know what? If it's cold, you know when you get those buckets, the five beers for $10 in a nice bucket.
It's hot outside.
I'll do Miller Lite all day. I'll do a Miller Lite way before I do a Bud Light.
You should be drinking some Surly up there in Minnesota.
Yeah, I love Surly. Surly Fury is my jam.
Now that's a brewery tour, not a brewery tour, but a place to visit.
Yeah. Wow. Summit as well. I love Summit.
Yeah, Summit's awesome too.
I remember when
you guys might laugh. The best brewery tour I ever went on was the Utica Brewery.
Utica Club?
Utica Club. At the
Utica
end,
Club.
Yeah, I think I can top that. When I was in Belgium, we did a tour of a brewery, and it was in right in the middle of an old city. Like, we're talking, like, you know, 1500s, 1400s kind of deal. And the bottling plant was, you know, a few miles from downtown. The brewery was right downtown. So they were building a pipeline under the ground where they would pipe the beer to the bottling factory. That was cool.
Sounds awesome.
All right.
Let's talk about Pullman Field again for just a minute. I'm thinking back to the time I visited, and what I remember most about Pullman Field is the outdoor skating rink that was next door to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that if the downtown ballpark is ready in time, they're going to play part of the season at Pullman before they transition over.
Yeah, and me and Mark are going to get drunk at Pullman Field, and then we're going to get drunk at ABC.
That's the plan. That is what I want to do.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to make if part of the season is played at Pullman, what do you recommend that a visiting fan does? If any of our listeners are going to head up to Beloit to get one last crack at Pullman Field?
What do I recommend?
Odds maybe, you know, but.
What do I recommend that they do at Pullman Field?
Yeah. What is it about Pullman Field that makes it so just to being old?
This is where I wish I had really great anecdotes about Pullman Field. I mean, to be honest, it's not that great.
I've got a park like Pullman in my life, you know, McCoy Stadium, which growing up I thought was the greatest thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people in Rhode Island think it's the greatest thing. But then you go to other places and you see amenities.
Yeah.
You see what can be done in a stadium. So, yeah, I guess.
I mean, they have a I don't know if they still do, but they had something called a True Wisconsin Burger, which is a burger with, I believe it has cheddar cheese, and cheese curds, basically, on a burger. So I would definitely recommend getting, like, the True Wisconsin Burger, as well as, I believe there's a Snappy Burger. At least there was last time, you know, I was there, which is a burger with a split brat. So the brat, like, comes out of the bun, so it looks like a turtle head, kind of.
Well, that's funky.
Yeah, so that's
even a fat guy like me is gone. Whoa.
Bratwurst and a burger.
Oh.
All the things you didn't know you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I want it, but whoa.
Oh, I thought you were just whoaing at the thought that it was made out of turtle.
No, I... Look at me.
Turtle soup.
Wearing a pork roll shirt.
Yeah. But they got, like, a cool, like, it's called, like, On Deck. It's like this wooded patio in right field. And honestly, I can't think of a much better place to just drink, like, 14 Miller Lights and just, like, hang out and watch like, some single A or advanced day baseball.
Whatever A baseball, the A hole baseball, whatever.
I'm telling you.
Ben, that's where I spent my night at the Snappers, was on that
way. Oh, yeah, was it? Nice.
I'm telling you, with the year we had, I'll drink any beer as long as I can watch a baseball game.
I'll eat anything at this point if I just go to the baseball game and not worry about dying.
I'll drink a Schaefer beer.
All right, now you don't get hasty.
You know the old marketing slogan for Schaefer was back in the day, right?
I don't know.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
Oh, wow. It's tough to drink more than one.
We used to get there in my college days. You know, this is back in the late 80s. A case of Schaefer was cheaper than a case of soda. So we'd go down to the liquor store.
It probably still is.
We'd
go down to Eddie's and pick up a case of beer for $5.
That to me is a red flag.
You just go to the bottle cork, get yourself some Schaefer.
But when you're in your 30s and 40s, it's a red flag. When you're 18.
Right.
I was backing up some things. I'm like, I wouldn't drink that again.
No. Well, Yingling used to be cheaper than Bud at one time growing up in Jersey, and people consider that an inferior product. And, you know, now it's out here in some parts of the Midwest, and people are going gaga over it.
I keep seeing, what is that
it's not rolling rock. It's that natural ice. Somebody's throwing out natural ice at the dumpster. I'm like, why? Why drink it and throw it out? Throw it out first.
Natty daddy. How about that?
I'll never forget going to like high school parties, and there was a brand called Classic Ice. Have you guys heard of it? It was the price. I'll never forget the price. It was $3.99 for a 12-pack.
Classic Ice is just ice in a bottle. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It was the worst thing
like a quarter
imaginable.
Yeah, there's some beers that just disappear. Like there was Southpaw Light, which my old roommate would just drink. Like it was candy, like water.
Can somebody explain to me what and why Bud Dry was a thing?
Everything dry was a thing.
It was ice beer. Remember
ice
beer?
That's dry.
Oh, let's do that. Was like the mid-90s. Yeah, it was. We didn't know what
that was before craft beer was big in this country. So Matt said that's like Schlitz Schlitz malt liquor, 11 Schlitz for an 18 rack.
Hey, my brother-in-law. And when we go to a Bulls game up in Chicago, he always wants to get the malt liquor. So his tradition. It brought the Bulls good luck in the 90s. Like, okay.
Well, when I was in Europe and
I had real beer.
Dave wonders why we call him a snob.
Dave, hold on a second. Hold on. Wait. You had Michael Jordan on the 90 Bulls and you thought the beer was good luck?
No, that was my brother-in-law.
Michael Jordan was. It was the beer.
You know what? Fans are superstitious.
Okay.
They're superstitious.
Anyway, Dave's going to Europe.
Stella Artois is kind of like it's kind of a bougie beer, right? You know, imported. Yeah.
It's my favorite. That's my favorite. Yes. Nothing is better than fighting a fire or being at a fire and getting home at 5 a.m. and cracking open an ice cold Stella Artois. After being in a fire for 8 hours,
I like Stella. We went to Europe and the host family offered us beer. Now they had like he had a beer fridge, which is like a full size fridge, fully stocked in his garage, and so we were like, "Well, do you have Stella?" And he looked at us like Stella, like it's like the Bud Light of Belgium.
Lord.
Wow, really? Wow. Well, it's better than any of the American crap I've ever had. Oh. We went to a party once. My friend was just buying $6 Buds. I'm like, why are you doing that to yourself?
Oh, Bud, yuck.
Ben, I told you we may end up in a weird place on this podcast.
Oh, listen, man. Beer is at sporting venues. We're covering all bases here.
Yeah, I love it.
And brats. We haven't even talked about brats yet.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about cheese curds either.
I have a story about when my wife and I went to Yankee Stadium and the girl in the tank top was trying to sell me a beer, and she kept bending over to get the one on the bottom of the thing. And I was like, no, you're not getting a beer.
Can I get a beer?
I said, what beer?
Listen, I haven't brought up the other thing yet.
That's good.
So,
all right.
Change subjects.
So Ben, I guess before we let you go, I guess the proper thing to do, let's if you want to let our listeners know where they can follow the cause and support the Beloit River Rockers.
Yeah, let me let's see if I can figure this out. All right, choose virtual background. You ready for this?
Look at that. I'm going to move the thing too. Ready? Oh, that was wrong. I did that wrong.
Well, just in case you can't see it,
I moved it.
It's blocked. All right, sweet. Follow us on Facebook at Beloit Rockers or on Twitter at Beloit Rockers, and we post pretty frequently. And I think it's pretty fun feed. I mean, we post concept uniforms, we post periodic updates of what's going on. We post like the endorsements we get. You know, we're getting some fun endorsements from community leaders in Beloit and small businesses, and that's fun. And all kinds of fun things. We engage with State and Journey all the time, and we really appreciate.
Very interactive account too. If you want
we appreciate the back and forth for sure. So, we have a good time, and we encourage everyone to give us a follow.
Just be careful that you could be confused easily that you're talking to Ben when you're actually talking to Nick or vice versa.
Oh, right. Yeah, we got a small team of people, so yeah, I guess maybe it's a
one of their crapshoot.
Yeah.
Ben, have you guys had any celebrity endorsers or followers yet? Or?
Well, we got Rod Godfrenson of Austin's Barbershop today, so that was pretty good. He is a Beloit institution.
There you go.
And he has been cutting Beloit hair for 40 years. And the New York Times came to town and did a piece on Beloit's revitalization because, as I mentioned, it's just like going crazy. And one of the people they talked to in that and was Rod Godfrenson. He's like a pillar of the community. So we got him. We got some exciting ones lined up, which I can't say at the moment. But we're moving on up. We just have a couple more people to to get across the finish line. Most notably, Quint Studer. So we'll see what happens there.
Beautiful. We're going to be following. Oh, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, that's just great to hear that, Beloit is having that rejuvenation because so many small towns, especially in the Midwest, upper Midwest, have not been that fortunate. I travel throughout Indiana all the time, and I'm like, what happened to this town? Where did something go wrong? So Beloit is not that hard to find, especially if you're driving up to Madison or if you're going from Chicago. I think it's on the way from Chicago to Minneapolis.
Just go to my podunk town in Jersey.
Yeah,
just go.
Just pay all those tolls on 90, right? Then you get to you get over to Beloit. So it's right
just
off the interstate, not too far.
Yeah. It's a really good stop, and there's all sorts of things to do there.
Hey, you're already ahead of the game because I didn't know Beloit existed until you guys started showing up on the timeline. I was like, well, I don't know.
That's awesome, Ben. We'll be following you guys with great interest, and we hope. Wish you all the best of luck in your efforts to save Snappy.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Can't thank you guys enough for giving me the opportunity to come on your platform and tell our story. And rest assured, we'll be continuing to follow you guys long after all this is over. So, and hopefully we can meet in the flesh, this upcoming season. Mark, I'm looking at you.
Hopefully you come back on the show when the good news, I'm going to will it into existence.
Yeah, or come on the season. Come on the show when
we can do the typical Dan thing and just
and we can just let it fly and we can all have a couple beers and just have a good time with that. So
I'm down for that. We'll check out G5 Brewery and grab some
exactly.
I'm okay with that. Get that fatty fried cheese in my body.
Your buddy. Well, yeah,
my buddy.
Absolutely.
In my booty. Comes out
real.
All right,
Ben. Thanks for coming on the show, and we love having you. Great, best of luck with everything.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. I'll drop off now, but you guys have a great night.
That was Ben Whitkins from the Beloit River Rockers. Thanks, Ben. We are going to root for you guys and root for you hard in your efforts to overthrow the evil empire that is the Beloit Snappers. No, just kidding. We just hope it all works out for everybody involved, and we're thrilled that a town like Beloit can keep baseball through this winter. You guys certainly were a long shot going in. But this is usually the part of the show where we recap our visits over the last couple of weeks. And guess what? We actually have a visit to talk about this week, ladies and gentlemen. That's exciting. But first, I'm going to steal the spotlight because I have some news, too. I didn't have a visit over the past 2 weeks, but guess what?
You have COVID.
No. I got tested negative, man. I've got an announcing gig coming up.
Oh.
The Middle East Conference announced that they are going to have a basketball season. So starting in 2 weeks, I will be at the UMass Dartmouth Crip Athletic Center doing the PA for games. And I don't think we're going to have any fans in attendance. But, hey, I'll get to be able to go to a game or two. So I'm wicked excited.
I'll be at the game, so screw all you people.
Yeah, for those of you who are watching the YouTube, we had a lengthy conversation during our commercial break there about Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL. So that's why everybody may slip into Sean Connery accent from time to time.
Good topic.
But Mark,
that's
you
awesome,
a visit.
Very awesome news, Paul. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, since the NWHL screwed me out of gigs, at least you have Dartmouth came through. It'll be a shortened season. It'll be a 10-game conference-only schedule. But, hey, 5 home games for me. 5 for the men's team and 5 for the women's. I am excited. And I just can't hide it.
You take what you can get these days.
Absolutely. So how about you, Mark? Where were you?
I was at the Stardome. which is a high school basketball gym here in Indiana. It's in Bern, Indiana, and it's about a half hour south of Fort Wayne, kind of in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. It was founded by Mennonites back in the 1800s, and I almost when you drive through town, you can see a lot of horse and buggy carriages. So, interesting town. The McDonald's has signs in German that say thank you and welcome, and when you drive into the parking lot. So it's
I'll be the same.
Yeah, and it has this. It has a clock tower in the center of town. So it's not a very exciting town, but it's not a lot going on there right now. But it has a lot of cool little features there that kind of stand it out from your regular Indiana town. But the Star Dome is where their high school team plays. It's the South Adams Starfires. It's a dome stadium. It used to sit about 4,000 fans. Now it sits about 2,800. Their center court logo is an exact replica of the 1984 LA Olympics logo, but it's in black and gold. And fan capacity was capped at 250 for the game. There might have been about 120 in attendance. So a little bit different atmosphere. You didn't have the student sections. You didn't have the old-timers sitting underneath the basket screaming and yelling at everybody because they're about 70 and 80 years old. They don't care who they offend. it's funny. When you go to these high school games in Indiana, you got these lifers that have been going to those games for years, and they'll tell you they'll tell you exactly how they feel. Concessions were limited to snacks and soda, no hot dogs or popcorn, pizza slices. So it was a little bit different way of life at this game, but it was good to be back at a high school game in Indiana because it's been a while. It's been a while since I've seen basketball. I think Connersville was the last event I attended. That was about 4 days before COVID lockdown shut down everything. And that was a packed house. So this was 250 people in a 3,000-seat gym. But it's a beautiful gym. Reviews coming up, I think, next week. And videos coming out of it as well. So be on the lookout for that because the Star Dome is doesn't get a lot of attention here in Indiana. But it's a definitely cool place to visit if you're in the area. For me, it's about an hour and 40-minute drive. But if you live in Fort Wayne, it's a little bit closer. So some of these gyms you have to travel off the interstate about 30 miles to get to in the middle of the night. So definitely it's a passion project of mine. So, but it was fun to be at a game.
Like you said, we'll take it, take our sports where we can get it nowadays.
Yes. No, definitely, definitely.
Hopefully we'll have more and more trips to talk about before.
I'm definitely going to another gym on Saturday, maybe two, if things work out. So I'll have something to talk about next time as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We don't even have high school basketball here right now. We don't have any high school sports at all. Nothing.
No, it's weird out here because it depends what part of the state you're in. I think some states have games but no fans. Some of the colleges are not allowing fans. Like Indiana State basketball, they renovated their arena, but they're not allowing fans into the games. University of Miami, Ohio is now allowing fans either to their basketball games. So there are events taking place around here. You just have to find out if they're allowing fans in because, you know, back in the day, you just go buy a ticket or you let the AD know you're coming. Now you got to make sure they're allowing people in the game. So you don't want to drive an hour and a half and there's no game.
Exactly, or you can't get in.
Yeah. So
out here, same thing. High school sports are happening, but like basketball, you can't go to basketball games. But parents are allowed to go to hockey games. So it's, like you said, it depends on the venue, depends on the school.
Everybody's trying to figure this crap out and put his foot around it, you know.
Yeah, you just check in before. Like I said, at the game, everybody had a face mask on, the cheerleaders, the coaches, athletic department people. So,
do you know who needed a face mask? A lot of the people associated with the Cleveland Browns. How do you like that?
How about the Browns?
Was it like 16 years since you make the playoffs? They make the playoffs and they're losing like four coaches and a few players.
Yeah.
So So my poor dad, my dad's a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. So I feel sorry for the guy. But hey, you know.
You know who I feel sorry for?
My Dolphins didn't get any help to get in the playoffs.
I was going
to
say, you know who I feel sorry for in the NFL?
The Giants?
I really feel sorry for the Giants that they played so piss poorly.
Oh, wow. Six.
Come on. They won six games. They deserve to be in the playoffs.
They played so piss poorly that they are mad at us for not attempting to win that game so they can get in the playoffs because they played so fucking well.
Yeah,
because
they're 6-10.
I got blocked by two New York Giants reporters today. Because
I said the Jets couldn't go 6-10 and make the playoffs.
No, you guys suck. We all suck. First of all, the NFC East is a joke, and none of them should be in the playoffs based on principle. But that's neither here nor there. I got blocked by two New York Giants reporters today because they were like
WFAN.
They were like, trying to tank the credit to the game and the tradition and disgrace to the game of football.
It's embarrassment.
So we started pulling up tweets of them saying that they wish the Giants tanked last season.
Hey, if anybody has written a book on tanking, it's Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
They tank all the time and win all the time.
Well, I mean, it's funny. Being a Jet fan, that's all we've been talking about this year is going 0-16 to get the number one draft pick. When the Jets won against the Rams,
New York
radio was like, I can't believe they won this game. It was a meaningless game.
Listen, a-holes. There's not you guys. There's a difference between tanking for a draft pick.
Clear that up.
Yeah. That's a different kind of a-hole. You're a-holes, different type. No. There's a difference between tanking, getting a draft pick, and then not trying the last game because why? So you can get in the playoffs? Maybe play better. Joe Judge is an asshole. and those two guys who blocked me that were like, I merely suggested. Oh, I bet you did. Well, goodbye. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I got
the Giants would have been 6-10 and would have been in the playoffs. That's the CFL, not the NFL.
You want that? You want that the playoffs?
Oh,
none of this
the
CFL
line,
bashing.
Boomer Esiason
is getting more for that already.
I want it clear that the guy from North Jersey said that, not the guy from South Jersey.
And then, who was Arizona's backup quarterback, the reigning Grey Cup champion QB?
No.
I would never insult Canadian football like that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, listen, I'm – I get you know how I support Canadian football.
No, I'm kidding. I just
made fun of because I remember the Argos made it 1 year with a 7-11 record and what kind of league is that you root for?
I was like, hey, do you guys want to take some responsibility for playing, crappy?
Hey, look at college football, man. You can make a bowl game. You can make the Shoeshine Bowl if you have a 4-17 record or whatever.
No. Way too many bowl games. Way too many.
Way too many.
I don't invent. I'm like, hey, they're at the food trough bowl. Well, I'm not going to watch that.
Hey, but you know what was funny? What was it? Nebraska dancing around with the trophy and broke it into a million.
Yes, and it was brand new. It was like the first trophy. Like that was it was
you think
brand
they
new bowl. I
think. The base better.
wasn't that the Mayo Bowl?
Yeah. The Mayo
now,
Bowl,
that
yeah.
that has to do with, like the doctor thing, right? Like the clinic and
not
mayonnaise?
I would assume so, yeah.
Because when you attach it to a football game, it kind of sounds like mayonnaise.
Yeah, and the Nebraska players are dancing around with the trophy, and whoops, broken trophy.
Well.
Since
we're on football, though, I got to say, made my day probably about 5 minutes before we got on the air, my all-time most favorite football player ever in life made the next step towards making the Hall of Fame. Zach Thomas, former Miami Dolphin, made the next step. It's going to be tight. I don't know if he's going to get it, but
he's not a Hall of Famer.
By the way,
not yet.
By the way, Dave, I did see a lot of people who were like, retweeting Giants players going like, you should feel bad for the Dolphins because you guys suck.
Yeah, Dolphins were 10-6 and didn't make it.
Yeah. The opposite, you a-holes.
No.
Yeah.
I will say this, and I really tend not to like the Bills. The Bills look really good.
Now,
wait. Now, Mark on our wrestling podcast, he's been a friend for years. He's a big Buffalo Bills fan, and he just had to explode last week on the show. So, can I just say, and I just let him have it, because, you know, you never know, but every 21 years he gets to be excited.
That, I think, you know, you remember all those years when, like, oh, well, the Super Bowl is really the Giants or the Cowboys against the 49ers in the semis? It could be this year the same thing on the opposite. It, like, the Super Bowl this year could end up being
Buffalo
the AFC Buffalo-Kansas City. That,
yeah, Buffalo is good. I mean, they would have been 14-2 if it wasn't for Kyler Murray, Hail Mary.
My brother-in-law is just totally eating this up. He's totally digging the Bills. So.
Oh, good for them.
My friend likes the Bills, and he's loving this. Listen, if the Bills make the Super Bowl, I will pull for them. If not for the dozens of friends I have that for some reason are Bills friends. Well, I wouldn't want you to.
Okay.
If the Jets made it, I'd be – no, I would never mind.
I'd never see my team the Super Bowl, so I don't know when that's going to happen. And it's even with the number two pick, I don't think I'm going to see it until the ninth. I don't think I'm going to see it this decade. So just being honest. Okay.
All right, so that's where we're going to call it a night. Dan, where can our listeners follow you online?
You follow me getting blocked by New York Giants press agents at Danlaw 83.
Mark, how about you? Where can our listeners follow you online?
You can follow me at Ballpark Hunter on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. Check out my review of the Newcastle Fieldhouse that was released on Monday. And I'm also going to have new releases on Thursday because I have – a lot of new stuff that I'm trying to get out there. So check that out. Let me know how you like it. Subscribe and hit me up with any questions you have.
Beautiful. And Dave, where can our listeners follow you online?
Follow me at ProFan9. Literary journey continues because that's all I got. Actually, Mark, interesting. You were talking about driving through some of these towns. I decided my current audiobook is following my most favorite sports movie of ever. So I'm into Friday Night Lights, and that author somehow made it possible that Odessa, Texas is like the least likable town in the world. It's amazing. But so I got that going, and then I also have Lars Anderson Chasing the Bear, which is, I'm not an Alabama fan, but a really interesting concept of sort of putting Bear Bryant and Nick Saban side by side and through their careers. So,
did you say Lars Anderson?
Lars Anderson, yes.
Not the former Red Sox minor leaguer.
I don't know.
Not the former tag team wrestler of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
I don't know. He wrote a book on the Mannings.
How can there be three Lars Andersons out
there? There are like Lars and Ole Anderson.
Yeah, that's, Lars Anderson was probably not really Lars Anderson. It was probably Fred George and Schmidt. Or something.
Well, Lars Anderson is probably like Bill Jones or something. And
yeah.
I used to write for Sports Illustrated for 20 years, but
oh, what
knows?
Do you know?
Maybe he was a Boston Red Sox.
No, he wasn't, because that kid was supposed to be the next big thing. First baseman made it. He did make it to the Red Sox for a little bit. This was in the 90s. California kid, so definitely
this
not
in the 90s. Like that. I mean,
that's true. That could make him like what, 40 years old now.
Could be.
Wow.
There's a Danish painter named Lars Anderson, but that's a E-S-E-N.
Huh. Well, what do you know?
Anderson, American professional wrestler. No, let's find out his real name together. Oh. It's not Lars Anderson. It's Larry Hainiemi.
There you go. Hainiemi.
Hainiemi?
Yep. He was Lars Anderson. Like I said, he was a multiple tag team champion.
And your ability to pronounce his real name justifies his stage name.
Yes, exactly. That's why I'm Dan Law, 83. Daniel Calaccio, Calaglicky, yeah. That's why, my friend, listen, I haven't been called Dan by many people since high school. There's a few that do, you guys do, but most people address me as Kyle Chico or some variation, like Chico or Cheeks. And I'm finally happy with that.
Chico.
I'll take
it. I understand. As someone who has never called Paul his whole life, I definitely understand.
Yo, Baker.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was Baker.
My dad would etch his name in all his tools, but it would C-I-C-C-O, which is Chico.
Yeah.
in Italian, Chico. So,
speaking of me, you can follow my stadium journeys on Twitter or Instagram at PuckmanRI.
Wow, that was the worst trade track diversion we've ever.
Yeah, but you know what? They all can't. It all can't. Every night can't be promised.
Thanks a lot, Lars Anderson.
Yeah, I'm blaming Lars.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, don't forget to check out our website, stadiumjourney.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stadium Journey. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. Do all of it. We want your love. We want your attention. You can find the Stadium Journey podcast at VOCNation.com or search VOC Nation Radio Network or whatever podcast app you use. Remember, we simulcast live every other Tuesday night at 8 Eastern at twitch.tv/danlaw83. And we want to thank one more time Ben Wittgens for joining us tonight. We will return in 2 weeks. It'll be January 19th when we get back in the New York groove to talk about the stadiums of New York City. So for Dan Palachico, Mark Viquez, and Dave Cotney, I am Paul Baker. Until next time, remember, you can count on the kid because there's nobody waiting around.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale with interviews and other segments now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligon every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcasts today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirtz. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirtz, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.